Over the years, members of the Greensburg Fire Department have blessed my life and Rosalie's life when we lived in Decatur County. But I've never heard one of them preach until this morning. And I'm looking forward to what Chuck has to say to each and every one of us in this service today. I have no doubts that God has called him for this morning. So you be praying for him. At this time, I welcome Chuck Gunner to proclaim God's word this morning.
Boy, you guys sure set the bar high, let me tell you. So I talked to Pastor Mike here. I don't know, he went on vacation this last month, September, October, somewhere in through there. So I said, you know, I know you have Rand slated to preach, but I said, I just feel like I have this calling to do something. And he says, well, Rand won't mind, just, you know, do it. So I said, well, I'm not really prepared. So give me some time and we'll think about it. So we're sitting in our meeting there, the 17th or whatever it was of December. And pastor says, well, you know, we know I'm going to be gone the 5th of January. So I'm like, oh, man, here it goes. He's going to ask me again. So he did. You know, Joe said there last week I volunteered for this. I didn't really. It was well, it's weird because, you know, we met on Tuesday for the deacons meeting. I'd worked that Monday at the fire station, which rolls into Tuesday because we do 24-hour shifts. So I'm laying there. It was like 2:18, and I wake up, and I have this message or this sermon just rolling through my head, and I could not go back to sleep for nothing. I mean, it's quiet. We didn't even have, nobody was even snoring, and I could not sleep. So and it's kind of an inside joke, I guess, but there's 10 of us that sleep in the same great big room. So there's quite a few loud snores. But anyway, and I could not go back to sleep, and next thing I know, it's 5:30, and my phone's beeping, you know, for me to get up and get ready to come home. And so I'm like, you know what, I give in, I'll do it. It's not a big deal. So it was kind of weird how it all fell into place because, you know, this is the night before our deacon's meeting, and then all of a sudden here's pastor asking me. So it wasn't really a volunteer thing. I really like my sleep, so I agreed. So hopefully he'll let me sleep. Of course, last night wasn't all that great. But so I talked to Pastor Mike, and I said, you know, we'll do it. It's not a big deal. My concern is, or was, I guess still is, but, you know, I do a lot of speaking, I guess, in public with through the fire service with teaching fire classes throughout state. So it's not a big deal for me to get up front people because I know quite a bit about that, you know, particular thing. So this is fairly new for me. You know, we've had a lot of good changes over the last few years, but I'm not that well versed in scripture. So I thought for my message this morning was going to be geared toward that. You know, how much better could our lives be if we would in fact listen to what God says instead of just pushing that off or letting it go. Or, you know, Rand would have been more happy to fill in for today. Of course, then he got called last week or week before to go somewhere else. So I told Rand, I said, well, he's giving you a shot there because I took your spot for today. But so my sermon today is going to be basically about ways that we see sin or hear sin or speak about sin. So I pulled up some things through the Bible on hearing. And in John chapter 8, verse 47, it said, whoever is of God hears his voice. So how many of you have sat in here and thought, you know, I could do more for the church? You know, you have this, I don't know, you call it your conscience or whatever. I think it's God speaking to me. You know, you sit back there in the back or in the middle, wherever we typically sit at, and you think, well, I could do more for the church. You know, I could help take up, you know, the tithes, or, you know, you could meet somebody at the door and be a greeter and pass things out, or never really did much with it. And then get this phone call from Bill Hughes about joining the trustee board. So, all right, it's a good deal. What all does that entail? Well, it has to do with, you know, upkeep on a building. I can handle that. I mean, I, you know, build stuff every day. So it's not a big deal. Sure, I'll do that. Sign me up. So I didn't even finish a whole year of that. Bob Gray calls me, hey, we need a deacon. Are you kidding? You must have called somebody else. Larry mentioned last week he didn't see this coming, me standing up here. There's a few people here I went to school with. Mr. Ahouse, I don't know how many times I was in your office. Believe you me, I did not see it coming either. But I tell you, our lives as a family has changed drastically since we became more involved with church. We've pretty much always went to church since we've been married. We kind of, I guess, church shopped, see where we wanted to go. This is where we ended up. But we never really put much effort into it. We were, I guess, what you call Sunday Christians. We come to church on Sunday, didn't stick around for Sunday school. Just church's over, out the door, go do whatever. Go fish, go hunt, play basketball, do whatever it is. But our life has drastically changed. And we're not perfect, don't get me wrong. But, we try to sit down as a family with supper and we'll do grace and we do these things that we're supposed to do, according to Scripture. So I think you should definitely listen. If you're sitting back there and you think God's calling you to do something, you don't know what it is, ask. We have plenty of church leaders here that'll help you. Just try to focus on Him and do things that you see Him calling you to do or that you feel He's calling you to do. I don't know how much time I actually have up here. They told me about a half hour. Gene says there's a trap door somewhere, so I'm going to try to keep moving around, but I'd really hate to fall in the basement, but could be kind of funny. So in an effort to gain some participation, I guess, I have some things here to bribe you with. I do have a few questions that I will ask, and I'll wait for an answer. So if you want to get out of here in your half hour, we need help. So along with this part on hearing that we should listen, who can tell me what the fifth commandment is? Beth gets a reward. I told you it was going to be candy bar day. Here, run out back there, will you? Thanks. So we talk about this whole thing was geared toward different ways that we sin. So how do you sin with your ears? I mean, you can't help what someone says or something you overhear, right? So to me, the way we sin is by not honoring our Father when He tells us or asks us to do something or He puts this into you. Believe you me, the last thing that I expected was to be up here preaching, giving a message. But you have to listen. It's made our lives, like I said, so much better. The next thing is sight. And if you look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but from the world." So what does that mean to me? Basically, it means the things that we, or the way we like for people to perceive us as like our glory or, us being better or worse than someone else. In an effort to not sound like a hypocrite, I've thrown some stuff in here on my past. Because we all do it. You'll see someone walking down the street and you think, oh my gosh, this is, stay away from that person, or look at the earrings or the nose piercings or whatever. Maybe it's their way of expressing something. I don't know. But I do remember a couple years ago, I've been going on this trip with the FOP, which is the Fraternal Order of Police. We'll go on a fishing trip, we'll hit a lake somewhere. Out of town, kind of our way of unwinding. So we're in Dale Hollow. I'm sure some of you have been there. Beautiful lake, pretty deep. You can see like 20, 30 feet down. There's 12 or 13 of us there. We've got four boats all tied together. There's these great big rock ledges that people jump off of, like 40, 50 feet. into the water. So it's a pretty neat place to hang out. You watch these people do some pretty crazy things. So here comes this boatload of two boats actually coming through, and there's a bunch of guys and a bunch of girls on it, and most of them are shaved bald, except for one has this big spike-looking mohawk thing going. So I made the comment, great, you know, the nerd squad has showed up or something to that effect. And they anchor up, tie their boats together a little ways away from us, and, you know, they're doing the typical water stuff, throwing footballs off the boats, and somehow their ball gets over to us, and somebody's like, well, get it thrown. I'm like, I'm not messing with people, you know. I don't want nothing to do with that. You know, they just look like trouble. So, I don't know, a little while into the day, the ball ends up back over there, and somebody throws it back and says something, you know, keep your ball over there, you losers, or whatever. And so all of a sudden, this one dude is swimming our way, and we're thinking, man, here we go, you know, this is going to be bad. So we start untying the boats. We don't want any trouble. You know, we're not from Tennessee area, and you know, definitely don't want to get thrown in jail in Tennessee, from what I've heard. I don't know. But this one guy that's swimming over says, who is that guy? He looks really familiar. And he's talking about one of the guys in our boat. And so this guy's name's Steve, but he tells me, he's like, my name's John. So we're out of town. He don't want people to know him. He's like, man, you look all familiar. Where are you guys from? We're from Arkansas. Man, you guys are a long way from home. He's like, well, you know, it is what it is. He said, man, he looks familiar. So finally somebody says, well, what's your name? And he says his name, I don't remember. He said, where are you from? Well, we're from the northern part of Indiana. It's like, all right, cool. What do you do? He says, well, I'm a conservation officer. And it's like, you're a conservation officer for Indiana? You know, you're a game warden for Indiana? He's like, yeah. He's like, and this is so-and-so and so-and-so. And, you know, they're like sheriff's deputies and detectives. And it's the same bunch of people that's in our boat. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And so we end up kind of hooking together, and as a pretty cool deal. The shaved heads and the spike thing was bets that they had made with their wives and had lost. So the women got to shave their heads. And it was just their way of getting out of town and having a good time. Well, here we are. You know, we had done, like, condemn these guys to, you know, stay away, do not help. So I sit down right there in the boat. You know, everybody has smartphones. And I start pulling up scripture on judging people. And I don't know, it was almost like this light switched or whatever, and since that day, and don't get me wrong, because I'm not perfect, I go in houses every 3 days of people that just, you do not understand how they can live the way they live, and you try not to pass judgment, but you know, it's tough. So, you know, I think that's where we're at as sinners. You know, that's the whole reason Jesus died on the cross, is to forgive us for doing stuff like that. Our goal is to try to work daily to not be that way. So I just thought I would share that as a little bit of a, which most of you know me, so pretty checkered past. Not really. It wasn't that bad, I didn't think, but mostly stupid, foolish stuff. So the last thing, the last way I see us dealing with sin is out of our mouths. And we're all probably guilty of that. I know I am. I just told you one of them, and that was probably a low-keyed one. So gossip, that's the big ticket, seems like, anymore. It's at the fire station, it's at churches, it's in hair clubs or hair places, whatever. You know, it's everywhere. Hair, what do you call it? Hair salons, there you go. Thank you. See, you guys can all preach. It's not a big deal. Get on up here. Sign up. But anyway, so I get to thinking, how could we change that, or how do we avoid that? Well, how many of us have the smartphones? Hands, everybody. I've got one. It's not a big deal. How many have the Facebook app on their phone? Get up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Because I'm guilty of it most mornings too. Is alarm goes off, you shut it off, you roll over, you unplug your phone, and you. Holy cow! Are you kidding? Oh, that's terrible. You know, and that's kind of our thing. So how many of us have the like Bible verse apps on there? Show of hands, several. All right, good deal. I have that too. Don't use it near as much as Facebook, probably, to be honest with you. Most of us don't. But so what if we started our morning by shutting that alarm clock off and pulling out that app, you know, the Bible app, Bible verse app, and read that daily scripture and then maybe post that on Facebook to share. Could you get more people coming to church? Possibly. So you wrap all these things together. You know, the Bible says there's the people that we should be seeking or making sure to get to church is who? Rand, you can't say. I'll give you a candy bar, but you can't answer this one. So who should we take care of? Who? The lost. Okay, but break that down. Let's be a little more specific. Who around us should we take care of? Who should we be seeking to try to get to church? They live right next to you. Neighbors. Who said it first? Elijah, who are you pointing at? All right, Caleb, come here. I don't know who he was pointing at, but... Coach? Amen. That goes back there somewhere, by the way, Caleb. All right, take that back there, seriously. All right, who else? We're connected. You know, we've made them, we raise them. Our family, children, yes. Who said that? Was that Winnie? Oh, daggone it. Well, you know, this is like Pastor Mike's stash that we give him every week. No, but I think they're videoing it, so he's going to know where to come looking. All right, so there's just a couple of who we should be. So how many of us have spoke to our neighbors about coming to church with us on Sunday or even our own family? You know, I don't know, and we're just as guilty. You know, my brother came here like seven weeks in a row, boom, 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 every Sunday. You know, he had some issues going on. We came up here, prayed, talked to him that evening. You know, he said he just felt this, he couldn't explain it. I'm like, awesome, good deal. You know, he'll be hooked, he's going to come every Sunday. And he did for like six more weeks, and he's been absent like three. So, but I've neglected to call him. And I was thinking about this morning, you know, those 7 weeks he was here every day, I texted him that evening, Saturday evening or that morning, Sunday morning, hey, don't forget church. You know, be there about 9, I'll have coffee ready. So have I failed? Not yet, because I'm not done with him, but we'll work on it. But that's where we should be. That's what we should be doing, you know, to get our people. I mean, the church is half full today. They were calling for all this bad, terrible weather. I took a phone call this morning of a couple families that wasn't coming because of the ice that they hit on the road. But if we would go out and try, you know, and use our mouths the way God intended it, you know, to spread his word and to draw people into church, you know, I could really be nervous because this place would be full, you know. But look at how much better our society could be or possibly could be. I don't know. We as Christians, I as a Christian, am going to work a whole lot better on that, just to try to get people to come. You know, just you would not believe how much the people here, like, you know, Joe and Daryl and these people would just say little somethings to you when we first start coming to church and make you really want to be part of the church family. But if we're not doing that to strangers, you know, it's easy to get us to come to church. I mean, we're here, you know, we like it here, we're going to come. But people who don't know the word or don't, you know, haven't seen Christ or haven't met Christ, to me, that's what we're here for, you know. And most of the scripture talks about that. So that's about all I have. We don't really do questions, I don't think, at church. But you can see me afterwards or whatever, it's fine. So I'm going to, I guess, close with prayer and then, we'll do the invitation. You know, come forward if you have something on your mind that you want to leave with Jesus. I'll be up here. Rand's going to wait in case I need help, and then he'll be up here. I guess Nancy, get ready, or whoever's going to play, and we'll just have a word of prayer, and then we'll go into our benediction and closing. Father, just praise you and thank you for the day. We had all these bad reports of this weather. I was a little nervous last night whether to pray for church being closed or church to be open. But the weather held off. I got up here and did my thing. I really pray and hope it's touched someone. we just ask your blessing on this church. Be with all those mentioned today who need to feel your hand. Be with us as a church to help us grow and get out into the world and spread your word and get people into a church, whether it's this church or somewhere else. And Father, we just thank you for your Son. You know, we know it's through him that we can come and see you someday. And we'll just ask your blessing on the rest of the day and help us have a good, safe, happy 2014. Amen.